Anyone who thinks my preaching is challenging probably has not heard John the Baptist preaching. So it's a pretty intense message that we hear in today's gospel. But I want to start out, you know, looking at John the Baptist first with the significance of the desert. You know, we hear in the gospel that the people are leaving from Jerusalem and Judea and all those surrounding areas. They're going out into the desert, the wilderness, around the Jordan River. And throughout Scripture and even in early Christianity, the monks would go in isolation into the desert. You know, what is the significance of the desert? Well, deserts, if you've ever been to one or ever seen one on TV, they're beautiful places and they're kind of majestic. You know, you can see the glory of God who created them. But they're also pretty desolate. And they're places of isolation. And that's the reason why a lot of the early Christian monks went out into the desert, was for that isolation. They wanted to leave behind all the distractions and all the chaos of our regular lives and place their soul before the presence of God. And so the desert was a place where they could encounter God in solitude and they could hear his voice more clearly. I think that's important for us to think about, especially during this time where we're preparing for Christmas. A lot of times, distractions can take over, and it can be a pretty chaotic time as we're worried about buying presents for everyone, making sure our decorations are up, you know, Christmas cooking, parties, you know, family that are visiting or getting ready to travel and visit families. It can be really hectic and busy, which is the opposite of what Advent is supposed to be. So I encourage you to take some time this Advent to go out into the desert, if not physically, at least spiritually. You know, find a place of silence and solitude and spend some significant time there. And you might have to leave your house. You know, I find it's easier to do that in church than it is when I'm surrounded by television, internet, cell phones, or chatter in people's homes. It can, a lot of times we need to leave that and find a separate place. But I encourage you to find a place where you can go in solitude and in silence. And to reflect on one of the questions that John the Baptist brings up, is your life bearing good fruit for the kingdom of God? You know, take that as a question to meditate on. You know, John the Baptist tells us that everyone who does not bear fruit is going to be thrown into the fire. And so what are we talking about with fruits? Well, we can look at what St. Paul says. He lists for us in Galatians the fruits of the Spirit. He says charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. So take some time and go through that list, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and ask yourself whether your life is bearing those fruits abundantly. Now, often our lives don't bear those fruits because of our own selfishness, because we don't have that same selfless love that Christ calls us to. You know, I think that the problems arise when we tend to put ourselves first and think of ourselves and our concerns first before we think of others. And I'll give a few examples. A lot of times during the Christmas season, there's tension between family members. Family members who have been hurt in some way. And oftentimes we take personal offense over something a family member has said or done to us. But that's just it. We're taking personal offense. Our first concern is that person has offended me. We place ourselves first rather than concern for the other person first and letting go of the ways in which we've been personally offended. Now, anger, you know, that goes against the fruit of gentleness and of self-control. Oftentimes when things don't go our way, we lose control. And it's exactly that. Things are not going our way. It's because we don't think they're going the way that we want them instead of allowing things to take their course according to God's plan. And that's what leads us to anger. It's ultimately selfishness or lust. When we desire the physical pleasure for ourselves at the expense of others, we place ourselves first. or greed is when we accumulate wealth for ourselves and we're thinking of ourselves first and making sure we have financial security and we have the money that we want before we think of others. Or selfishness, when people make demands on our time. Well, that's just it. It's not our time. It's time that God has given us. Why are we so concerned about our time? Or sometimes parents who aren't open to new life within their marriage, it's because they have as many kids as they want, and they don't want any more kids. Well, whose plan is first? Is it our own plan, or is it God's plan? So, I don't think any of us can do an examination of conscience with it like that without finding some areas where we're not allowing good fruit to flourish within our lives. You know, I think all of us, if we do an honest examination, are going to find areas where we need a real change. And so Advent is a time where we stop putting ourselves first. We need to stop those behaviors and those mindsets where we're constantly thinking about ourselves. We need to stop that and stop putting ourselves first and repent, as John the Baptist calls us to. The extent that we place ourselves first is the extent to which charity will not flourish within our lives. You know, that's why we don't bear the fruit that we should. And so we need to train ourselves to put the other person first. And our Lord gives us the sacrament of confession as a powerful remedy for sin. You know, why is confession so powerful? Well, there's a lot of reasons why confession is so powerful. One is it forces us to do an examination of conscience. And that's something that a lot of people just don't do. It forces us to sit down and honestly look at our lives and look at those areas where we need to repent and where we need change. So the examination itself is important. Second, confessing is important because often we tend to rationalize our sin or make excuses for it rather than taking responsibility for it. And by confessing, that forces us to be accountable and say, yes, I have failed. And if we're not accountable for our actions, then we're not going to change. And so that accountability is very important. And also the grace of the sacrament. Confession not only gives us forgiveness for sins, but it also gives us an outpouring of grace to help us to overcome those sins in the future. This past Thursday, we had a very good turnout at our penance service over at St. Patrick. We have our penance service here at St. Mary of the Woods on December 14th. So I certainly encourage you to take advantage of that. We'll have a number of priests here for confessions. But sometimes as a priest, you know, when you have a good turnout for confession, when you have really good confessions, you can almost feel the grace of God coming down. You know, you feel people being liberated from their sins and people being rescued from the kingdom of darkness and set free and brought into the kingdom of light. Sometimes you almost feel the power of God's grace at work. And I'm sure that's what it was like as John the Baptist was out in the desert preaching and people were coming in huge crowds. And what were they doing as they were encountering the Lord in the desert? They were confessing their sins and they were repenting. And that's what the Lord calls us to do during this Advent season. So I encourage you, take some time, step away from the distractions of life, go into the desert, and meditate upon those fruits of the Spirit, and ask yourself whether your life is bearing those fruits or not. And for those ways in which it is not, confess, repent, and be forgiven.